Welcome back, everyone, to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas joined now by Saints tight end Foster Moreau. A nice little treat to have here on this Tuesday. Foster, you had some time off, not the greatest situation, but you had some time off to heal, to kind of regroup. How did you spend your time?
Yeah, Mike, I definitely spent it healing. I spent it with a couple of family and friends. Trying to stay in the cold tubs and on the Normatec boots as much as I can.
All right. So what's Normatec boots?
All right. So it's like a flushing agent. You could put these. They look like these. Thigh high boots that you put on, and it's interesting technology. But basically, It flushes the blood in and out of your legs with air compression.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah,
it's a good deal.
It just kind of help create better circulation, right?
That's exactly right.
And I got the impression, because if they're so popular right now, and I'm just curious, these are the cold plunges. Now, football players have been doing cold plunges, ice baths for 50 years, but are you doing the cold plunges?
Yeah, the plunge is certainly gaining a lot of popularity across social media platforms. I've been plunging for a while, but the best thing to do in terms of recovery for athletics, I find is a contrast between the hot and cold tub. You'll find that in every Power Five facility and professional facility across most all sports. Just the wet area in terms of going hot to cold for 3 to 2 minute increments, that'll loosen you up, get you feeling pretty good. And there's plenty of science behind it, but I think it wakes me up in the morning. Natural caffeine.
Wow. It sounds painful to me, but we're two different cats, right? So it is what it is, right?
Give me that. Pain is relative.
That's right. Give me the six cups of coffee. 2019, drafted by then Oakland, but out of Jesuit, and to play at LSU and to have this opportunity. And for the truth of the matter, even with 32 teams, a lot of guys do not get to come back and play in their hometown. It's now obviously in your second year, and the newness has worn off, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I've been, people say you make your own luck, obviously, but I've been pretty lucky across my entire life in terms of the opportunities that I've been given. To win a state championship at Jesuit in my senior year, beat some pretty talented football players, teams, and coaches, to be awarded a scholarship on National Signing Day to go play for Les Miles, then Ed Ogeron afterwards. And then obviously to be drafted, to be selected, to be chosen is a pretty unique and special experience, obviously. And to come home, and for Mickey and DA to have the faith in me to come home and be able to handle distractions in your hometown and still put out a pretty relatively good product in terms of performance. I've truly been blessed.
It feels like, and we talked to Coach Allen about this last night, that yourself and Juwan, I mean, you've had two targets, two catches in each of your last three games and one touchdown. I know you would like more, but it's almost been the impact of those plays, in that you've had a long of 32 and a long of 41 and a 7-yarder on the touchdown day. It feels like, and Juwan's been similar. His targets have been more, but it just feels like the last three games, the tight ends have been more predominant in the scheme.
Yeah, I can't really speak much to scheme, but I can speak to, the type of leaders that we have in that room. Speaking for obviously Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill, we certainly miss Taysom and we need him back. I think he's a big part of our production, especially, in the hidden yardage of the run game. But we love playing football, and we love our role, however big, however small, and we're going to try to execute that to the best of our abilities. We're a great 1-2 punch. And I love sharing reps with Juwan and Taysom every game day. Those guys bring a fire, and they truly are spark plugs for our offense, no doubt.
so tough after the 2-0 start as to where things are. But I know, just because I've been around this team for decades and month in Irvine, these are soul searching days, but this team has a lot more football and fight left in it.
Yeah, Mike, you know, every team comes across adversity, right? And I think I heard this just a couple of weeks ago in one of our team meetings, but you know, adversity is not our enemy, right? It's our partner in growth. And I thought that was so wonderful. And we're right in the middle of the storm that is adversity. And thankfully we have great leadership, you know, both sides of the ball, DeMario Davis, Eric McCoy, Derek Carr, Tyrann Mathieu, just to name a few, who've weathered storms, right? And who understand that any storm you get through is not worth coming out without having everyone still on board. So we're trying to keep guys on board as best as possible. We're on a 5-game skid, and all we can do this week is go 1-0. Same thing that starting the year 2-0 goes. The only thing starting the year 2-0 guarantees is that, well, you can't go 1-16. You know, you can only at least go 2-15. Same for being 2-5. You know, the only thing that guarantees is that, well, you can't be 13-4. That's the only thing it guarantees. Glass half full mentality at all times. Whether you're winning or losing, you have to trust your own process. And if your process isn't getting it done, then just start adding things. Start adding things as fast as possible, and see if you can't turn it around.
I want this to predominantly to be about, you know, football, but I just have a couple of quick questions from a health standpoint. And how are you? How are things? And you know, after the scare that you went through, that would be tough for anybody. But just initially, how are you?
Yeah, Mike, you know, my health's awesome, you know, inside and out, thankfully. I did another CT scan, thankfully, with my oncologist, Carter Davis. He works over there at the fifth floor of the Benson Cancer Center. He's a good man and a great doctor. But he set me up with another CT scan just this past off season, like say around June, July. And I'm very clean and cancer free. So I'm extremely grateful.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back here on the Saints Hour, we will have more with Saints tight end Foster Morrow and his deepened friendship with Saints team doctor, Dr. John Amos. And we'll also take a listen back to the touchdown that was back in week 2 in Dallas. Foster Morrow, by the way, the last time he went up against the LA Chargers, that was back in 2022, when he was a member of the Las Vegas Raiders. He caught a 32-yarder in that one, and it ended up being a 7-point victory for Las Vegas. You are listening to the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are talking with Saints tight end Foster Morrow, Jesuit Blue Jay LSU Tiger. And you talked about your own doctor, but I was just curious because I spend time around him. We're near each other on the plane. I know his family, his brother, daughters and nieces. Your relationship with Dr. Amos, I mean, it just must be, it's got to be a little different, right? I mean, he's a super nice guy to begin with, but it's got to be a little different, huh?
Yeah, you know, John Amos is always going to be a special name in my life. Certainly, it's almost like he's uncompromising in terms of his dedication and his maybe really just his integrity. I mean, that day he really didn't have to care as much as he did. You know, he didn't have to go through. He could have given me a routine, a football physical examination. He could have checked my joints, you know, you know, taken my temperature, gotten some blood work done, and made sure that I was healthy enough to play football. But just his process of going through the length of actually putting me through a real family style physical examination, when he didn't have to, you know, it was a Saturday morning. And he had other things to do. It was March Madness time. Like, there was plenty of other things that he could have been doing on his off day than coming in and working me out and putting me through a little physical examination. But just his detail probably saved my life, because I wouldn't have gone to get checked out if not for him. I mean, I'm worried about football. You know, I think if I could play football, I'm healthy and nothing else is going to happen to me, which is obviously a very blinded point of reference. But I'm thankful for John Amos every day, and I'm thankful I get to see him as I walk around the facility. He's a pretty special guy.
This time, Taysom is to the left, three receivers to left. Alvin is the deep back, and now Shaheed to the near side. Carr rolls it down. Now looks to the end zone. He's got Foster Moreau wide open. Foster prefers a flag.
Offensive lineman down the field on the Saints. That's leak. Offensive lineman got down the field. You got two flags on him. Offensive lineman, they were looking for somebody to block, and they were beyond 1 yard.
Eligible man downfield. Offense number 51. 5 yard penalty. First down.
Foster is upset. That's leak is the play. The tight end leak. He was wide open too. Wide open.
He just couldn't. The ball couldn't get there soon enough.
I told you at some point that they were going to come back to those tight ends. It's not the corner route. It's just leak. And that's the play in the offensive line. They're looking for work.
Yeah, 15 career touchdowns, two this year. I don't know you well enough to ask this, but I'm still curious. Does the touchdown call back at Dallas still bother you?
No, it didn't. And it didn't bother me then. Honestly, I've never had one called back, so there was really no point of reference for me. It was pretty ticky tacky in terms of,
I agree,
in terms of how it was called. But I think five plays later, we still got AK into the end zone. I think it was his fourth of the day. I'm not sure, but, we got to run a little bit more time off the clock. And we still got in. And
yeah, it was huge, only because the way A&T Stadium is, we were at an angle. So I'm behind Carr. You're at the other end of the field. So I'm behind Carr, and the lane to you is so open. Like, I talked about you being open before Carr cocked his arm. I mean, it was a well-designed play, and I've never had a view of that just because of the angle. Was just, it was unique. So I was just curious.
Yeah.
Now, probably covered you some in high school and in LSU, but spent a lot of time at Irvine. How do I say that? Have you always been that chirpy on the practice field?
I'll say it's relative to where my confidence is with where I'm playing. Maybe back in Vegas when I really started to get comfortable around that, rookie year. You're never comfortable, but after that, you go into the second year, and I was trying to figure through an ACL injury, and I wasn't too confident in myself, and I didn't feel like I was playing great. But kind of as the years went on, I got a little bit more confidence, and I was a little chirpy out there, but probably not to the degree that I was in Irvine this past year. Just, coming into a new place year five with the Saints, and, obviously, I've always had a lot of reverence. I've watched these guys for a long time through high school, college, and playing against them professionally. I always had a lot of reverence and admiration for the way they played football. So coming in year five, and I don't really know anybody. That was definitely difficult in terms of actually getting to be a little bit more vocal on the field. But I was given a call to action and decided that. We got a lot of leaders on the offense, but on the practice field, no one's really that much that vocal, I would say. And I decided that I was going to try to take up that mantra and see if we couldn't give the defense all they could handle for that month long period. And it was credit to us. It was a great training camp. And, if the guys weren't practicing as well as they were and people weren't giving 100% effort and we weren't bought into to the playbook and to the coaching staff and to our goals, then I wouldn't have been chirping as much. I wouldn't have had any platform to chirp. But we busted our ass and we kicked a lot of ass during training camp. Same for the defense. I think they got after us pretty good too.
No, it was a great camp. And, you know, who knows, maybe going back to LAX and within an hour's drive of Irvine, you know, maybe this is, you know, a good sign to get out of this. Best of luck, continued success with your health, continued success on the football field, and you know, turn it around on Sunday and get, you know, like you say, get one and then go from there.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you very much. I enjoyed being on.
And to be fair to Foster, we appreciate his time. We took a listen to the TD that wasn't, but so here is the TD that was in Kansas City, fourth quarter, that made that game a three-point football game.
Under center is Carr, deep back is Kamara. Snap, play action, looks, now he needs to get rid of it. Throwing it for Foster Moreau, and that's a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Doucette, the tight end's got to show up. The tight end did. Foster Moreau with the touchdown.